Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the Career Archipelago. The questions this cast answers are, what is the Career Archipelago? What's important about a Career Archipelago? And how do I action the idea of a Career Archipelago?
Folks, it's Mark again. Next week, if you're listening to this right away, on or around January 13th, next week we're going to be in Austin. Every once in a while, there are these little islands that are available where we can do public in-person events around COVID and the governmental responses to it. So January 18th, next week, next Tuesday, we have an effective hiring manager conference. The 19th, we have an effective manager conference. And the 20th, we have an effective communicator conference. There are only 10 seats left. We already, I think, have 20 people there, but we can go up to 30. And generally, the bigger the conference, the more interchange there is. And so that's exciting for a lot of people. So join us January 18th, 19th, or 20th, or all three, if you like, for an in-person public conference in lovely Austin, Texas.
I think archipelago is one of my favorite words. It's definitely in the Groovy Words list, which is a list that me and my friends created like 25 years ago.
I like it.
The best thing ever. An archipelago is a string of islands in the ocean. I had to go look it up because I sort of remembered that from geography, but not entirely. So it's it provides a perfect metaphor for your career because you have a string of jobs in an ocean of possibilities. And between those jobs is the bridges, the transitions between jobs. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you get from one island to another? And why is that the wrong question?
Yeah. So our outline for today is we're going to explain the career archipelago. We're going to talk about get results in this job, the job you're in now, and don't burn bridges.
It's perfect. Okay. So what is a career archipelago? So I just said that the definition of an archipelago is a group of islands closely scattered in a body of water. Things like Japan is an archipelago. I can't remember, there were some others that I looked up, but they all tend to be very close to each other. You could swim from one to another in some cases. In some cases, you wouldn't want to because there's sharks, mm-hmm. but you can definitely build a bridge between them. Yeah, you could use a boat to get between them. They're not so far apart that they would be countries of their own. Right. And each one of these islands in the metaphor is a job that you've held. So if you think about an ocean, that's the entire sort of job market. And these islands are the jobs that you've held, the ones. And then the bridges or the boat or the swim is the transition between the islands. So we're going to use bridges for the rest of this cast because I'm going to assume that some smart engineer has worked out how to build a bridge between all of the jobs that you have. And there's a bunch of things we can do with this metaphor, but the really important thing is, and the thing that we want you to take away from this cast is it's not the bridges that are important. It's the islands.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, when we think about our careers, I mean, that's what we think about. We think about the transitions.
Yeah. Like career planning is transitions. How do I get from here to here?
Right. Exactly. And we think about this as, I would imagine it's probably because there's so much mental energy mm-hmm. used, you know, when you're actually doing it, when you're trying to, you know, decide, is this the right move or whatever. And so we think about those transitions when we think of our career. We think about how we get from one place to another, but we don't think about the important thing, which is the jobs. Those are the islands in this metaphor, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. What is really, really important? And that's the islands, not the bridges. What goes on your resume? Not the bridges, the islands, right? What do you tell people that you're proud of? Not the bridges, the islands. Where do you spend most of your career? Not on the bridges.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If you change jobs every 2 years and it takes you 3 months to change jobs, then I can't do the math. You know what the math is. But that's only a quarter of 1 year. So there's an eighth of the time spent on the bridge compared with 2 years on the island.
Exactly. So the focus ought to be on the islands.
And so the better you perform in the job you have, the bigger your island gets. And the bigger the island is, the smaller the bridges need to be. If you think about being the Netherlands and claiming land and terraforming the sea, which is what they did to get a lot of their land. That's what you're doing. And the more that you can add to your island, the smaller the gap is between you and the next island. And even better, if you get better results in a job, if you perform well in the job that you have, you increase the strength and the number of relationships you have naturally, because you need relationships to be performing in that job. And those relationships will help you with the bridges later.
Yeah, those relationships could lead to more bridges, stronger bridges, right? I mean, we can really kind of extrapolate this analogy to the nth degree because of that. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Good. Yeah. The vast majority of questions that we get about careers are about transitions, are about the bridges. People who write into us, they want to know, you know, how to write their resume, maybe get a second glance at their resume, what to put in a cover letter, how to get an interview, how to manage the whole offer process, and so on and so forth. The vast majority of people that are asking are in a transition. They're actually trying to get hired when they write to us. I mean, they're in that process.
Yeah, the only people who write to us before they're in a transition are the people that are coming out of the Navy or the Army or the Air Force, because they have a prompt, because there's sort of end of term planning, I guess, for one of a bit, I don't know what they actually call it. But, you know, if you're coming up to your 20 years, at 17 years, somebody says, oh, by the way, you're going to go out into the real world. What do you want to do? And you need to start thinking about these things. And because they get that prompt, we sometimes hear from people at 2 years out or 3 years out. But for everybody else, it's always, I left my job, I'm leaving my job next week, I have an interview on Monday. Please don't send us things on Fridays that say I have an interview on Monday, because it just stresses me out. But it's always, I'm already in this process, help.
Yeah.
And that's because people have that concern at that point. When you're in a job and you're doing your job and you feel confident in it, you don't reach out for help, because you're like, I can do this. But it's the transitions that people stress about. And therefore, it's that they focus on when we think about career planning.
Exactly.
And people don't think about the job they're in. And that's what they can do right now. Like, the biggest opportunity to make the next transition easier is working on the job you have now. And lucky you, you're working on that job now. You know, you can do it right now. And there's a whole bunch of benefits you can realize by taking action now.
Right, exactly. I mean, when you think about it, it's easier to take action to improve your performance now. The job that you're in is a known quantity. I mean, you know who the players are, you know what you need to do, you're familiar with the processes, you're not, you know, probably not blindsided as much as you could be in a new role.
Yeah, and this cast is going out in January when people have just got their goals from their boss. So
right.
now you've got the checklist.
Exactly. The other thing is, taking action now gives both short-term and long-term returns. Making changes now gives you benefits. Of course, now you should see, you know, realize some results now, but at that next transition, you'll see potentially long-term results. You'll see more accomplishments on your resume, more things that you can share, wins, successes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you do something now and you get a salary bump because of the work you're doing now, that's awesome. If the alternative is to wait to do anything until you're in the transition, then you've just missed out on something you could have had, that salary bump.
Yeah. Taking action now actually also gives you better feedback. You'll know whether the changes you're making are actually having an effect, if you're seeing those results, rather than waiting a couple of years for your next transition to know whether you did the right thing.
Right. And it's less effort now.
Yeah.
It's like running a marathon. You know, if you did the training a little bit every day for a year, a marathon would be easy. If you try and cram all the training in the 2 weeks beforehand, it probably is going to be a miserable experience. So in the same way, you can do a little bit every day or a little bit every week to increase your performance. And you can do a little bit every week to make the transition easier. For example, if you set a goal to clear all the tickets that you've had, like let's say you've got 20 outstanding tickets and nobody cares about them because they've been outstanding for 2 years and they're just annoying. And you decide, okay, I'm going to clear those in 6 months. you can do 3 a month, and you can put those 3 a month on your resume. And at the end of 6 months, you can say, cleared 20 outstanding tickets by whatever you did to clear them. Mm-hmm. So you've got that piece for your resume, and you've done a little bit every day towards something difficult, which is so much easier than trying to do it all at once.
Oh, absolutely. And I like the point that Wendy put in the cast here, which is fantastic. I mean, the more effective you are in your current role, the better you are, the shorter your bridge to the next role becomes. I mean, the bigger your island gets, the closer you are to other islands, the shorter of a bridge you need. And if you are really, really good, they'll send a boat for you. You may not even need a bridge. I love it.
That was Mark's. So he got that perfect. But it was, I did the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh, that's perfect. Yeah. If you are that good, they're going to send a boat for you, which is absolutely true. You know, especially in big companies, you hear of people, you know, oh, there's a job opportunity. Yeah. But they've already filled it. They're just advertising because HR told them to. They knew who they wanted. They went down there and said, hey, do you want this job? And that person said yes. And now it's just a fait accompli. And the reason they want that person is because they know about that person's performance.
Yes, exactly.
And it happens in other companies too. It can happen externally as well. If you're working with a supplier or a vendor, or if you're working as a consultant, or even if you're just, you know, working, competitors will hear about you as well. You know, when I was a recruiter, we would get the newspapers, because it was like 100 years ago. We would get the newspapers every Friday with the jobs in them. And we would phone the other agencies and ask them about the jobs they were advertising to find out which agency got that job. Because we all wanted the jobs, because you only make revenue if you have the jobs.
Yeah.
And sometimes every time you spoke to somebody or every time you called, it was the same person who had got all the jobs. You know, you'd phone a company and they'd say, oh yeah, you know what? We're working with this agency and this person. And you would find out that there was one person absolutely killing it. The market was small enough that we knew. And my boss would say, who is it that's killing it? Because we can offer them. And, and he would then call them and say, hey, I got a better offer for you. And recruiters, if you don't know, are salespeople. And if they get a better offer, they'll move. So
yeah.
It absolutely happens in outside companies as well.
I have an example of that too. Sometimes it depends on other people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if other people make a transition, I remember moving to a new job, and the first opening I had, I reached out to 2 or 3 people that I had worked with that had worked for me in the past, and I knew they were really top performers. They were strong performers. And this may not necessarily have been a perfect transition for them, but their bridge got shorter because they were really good in that role.
Right.
This is, you know, I mean, and, you know, it worked out really well for them. And so it worked out really well for me too, because I had someone I already knew, I already trusted. They were light years ahead in terms of relationship building. Yeah. And just from being really good at your job.
It's amazing. So, and when you're ready to switch job, you absolutely need to know about how to write your resume and how to answer interview questions and how to accept an offer, all of that stuff. The bridges are important when you're actually thinking about changing jobs. But too many people only think about the bridges and they never think about the island that they're on. What we think is 90% of the time you're thinking, when we talk about career planning or careers, you're thinking about the transition. And what we want you to do is think 10% about the transition and 90% about the job that you're in right now.
Folks, this really isn't an ad so much as a sort of a customer service announcement. No, that might be an ad. And that is, I've just signed a deal to do a second edition of my first book, The Effective Manager Book. It should come out sometime this year. That means a couple of things. For one, first of all, the book will be revised and expanded to include remote work, COVID, pandemic issues, the vaccine. We had a very popular podcast recently called The Manager and the Vaccine. And when it comes out sometime this year, the first edition of the book, which you can still get both at Amazon or from us if you want a signed copy, those will no longer be available. They're going to take out of print the first edition and replace it with the second edition. So if you want a first edition, you can go to Amazon or other booksellers, or you can come to us for a signed copy, and we'll let you know when the new second edition of the Effective Manager book comes out.
Our next point on our outline is get results in this job. Thinking about transitions and bridges causes us often to take our eyes off of what we're doing now, like Wendy said. One example we often see is technical people who want to get a role as a project manager. And this is one time where the tragedy of the welder story will help. If you haven't heard it, the tragedy of the welder is a story of an exceptional welder who is promoted to manage the rest of the team of welders based on his ability to weld. He was a really good welder. Unfortunately, what made him a great welder isn't what makes for a great manager. And so after he's promoted, he's miserable because he doesn't get to weld anymore, which is what he does and does well. And the team suffers because he's not a great manager. Yep. And in IT teams, right, like, we think of how this translates in, you know,
this story is about promoting people who are good at the job that they're doing and not being good at managers. And that's what happens to a lot of people. And that's why they're bad managers, because they're not prepared and they don't really want to do it. They want to be whatever they were. In this case, we're going to work the same scenario backwards, and it actually ends up well for you if you're the welder.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's a different focal point, right, on the same story. Because we think about this and how it translates into, you know, other worlds and other, you know, industries and practices. And we think about IT teams and, you know, the best person at their current job is promoted to manage the people doing that job. And this really is prevalent in all areas in organizations, right? I mean, we think about the best software developer is promoted to manage the software developers. The best quality assurance specialist is promoted to be the QA manager. The best UX designer is promoted to be the UX design manager. Sometimes this works, but more often you end up with someone who isn't really great at managing, even though they were great at their former job. They were really great at X. But what we're saying here is, to Wendy's point, not don't prepare for the next role. What's important for you in this cast is to focus on the fact that it is the exceptional welder or the exceptional, you know, UX designer. It's the exceptional software developer who gets promoted, right? It doesn't matter how much you prepare for the next role if you don't get it. Right. And that's the point of this cast is it is the person who is the best who gets promoted. And so you can't be the best at what you're doing if you're not paying attention to it. If your eyes are not on the current situation that you're in, the island you're on. Right. So if you're worried about the horizon and not building your island, you may not get to the next island.
And you may trip over something that's right in front of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So what we see in IT specialists who want to become project managers is they go on a project management course. They're IT specialists. They carry on doing their day job. They go on a project management course. They read books about project management. They talk about wanting to be a project manager. Everybody knows they want to be a project manager. But because of all of the time and energy they are putting into their ambition, their performance in their current job slips. And when it comes to promotion time, instead of being considered some great asset, someone the company really wants to keep, someone the manager is prepared to fight for, this person is an average performer who doesn't deserve to be given a shot at being a project manager. And that's heartbreaking because everybody knows that's what this person wants. And nobody is saying this person might not be good at it. Nobody is saying we know whether or not they're going to be good or not. But what they're saying is, based on current performance, they're not trying. They're not doing what we need them to do with. They're not an example to others. You know, and why would a company promote someone who's average over other people that are better? Or just even if you don't have anyone else, why would you promote someone who is average and give that view of, oh, you can be average and get ahead around here? No.
Yeah. Well, and I would just say even additionally, I mean, that's why we do behavioral interviews, right? That's why we recommend them. That's why they're, you know, widely accepted as the best form of interviewing, because the best predictor of future success or future behavior is past behavior. And so what are you telling them you're going to do in that next role? Even though you're prepared for it, you're telling them, I'll go be average in the next role while preparing for the next role.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
And that's not the message you want to convey. You want to convey, when I'm given a role or when I'm on an island, I'm going to build that island and I'm going to excel in that role. That's what you're trying to convey when you're interviewing or when you're sending your resume out, right?
And worse, because you have average performance in the role, the island shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you start, when the IT person who's desperate to be a PM starts interviewing outside because they can't get a promotion internally, they don't have great results in their current company to put on their resume, to talk about in an interview. And it's really hard to sell the idea of, I'm going to be a great PM when I am currently an IT specialist, so I have no track record being a PM, and you're going to an outside company who you don't know, you have no credibility with. The likelihood of you actually, of that person actually getting that PM role is really low. Internally, he has a shot, because people will give you a chance based on what they know about you, but not if you're not performing. You know, it's really hard to tell someone in an interview, yeah, I know how to manage budget. I can have a team hit deadlines. I can manage all that stuff. If you're not managing your whole life, if you aren't managing to perform in the job that you're in, how are you going to manage other people to perform, even if it's not the same job?
Right, exactly. Now, on the other hand, consider how actually, you know, performing and building your island in your current role helps you. Your island gets bigger the more and better results that you get. It's not the poor performer who's given more responsibility. It's the outstanding performer, the person who's doing it, right? I mean, I think about this when I think of budgets, right? I mean, who is the company going to trust with a higher budget? It's someone who has a track record of being able to manage their budget well. If someone consistently goes over budgets, they're not going to just keep giving you more money. You're not being a good steward, right? So no sensible manager gives a new task to someone who is struggling with tasks that they're already working on. In fact, those poor performers, those people who struggle, are usually the people who are saying, oh my gosh, why are you dumping so much stuff on me, to the manager who wants to give them more or delegate to them. Top performers see delegation or more tasks or additional responsibilities as opportunities to develop skills and experience, and thus increasing the size of their island.
And the bigger your island, the more exposure you have to people on other islands. You know, the additional responsibilities that you're given often mean you have to attend more and different meetings across the organization, and that gives you a chance to impress new people in an area that you're already expert in. Now, if you're an IT specialist and your boss says to you, I need you to go to the sales meetings because I can't, and you go to the sales meeting and the salespeople say, I need to do these 5 things on the app that you haven't given me, and you write that down, you're the expert in that room and you're getting to know a whole bunch of salespeople. Now, they may not be useful to you right now, but when it comes to transition time, salespeople know everybody. And yeah, you've just benefited from taking more work, from learning something new, from meeting a whole bunch of new people.
This shouldn't be a hard concept of this metaphor to understand, right? I mean, the bigger your island gets, the more visibility you're going to have.
And that too.
In our metaphor, bigger islands are easier to see.
Yes.
I mean, that's as simple
absolutely.
As it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're one of those airplanes they send out to find missing people, they're going to find your island faster.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And no manager sends just a guy or goes with just a guy to a meeting in another part of the organization. They take you and then they say, hey, this is Jeremy, my expert in whatever you're an expert in. And not only are you now at the meeting, you just got to know a bunch of people, you're learning new skills in that you are going to meetings with different departments, which is usually different for you. You've just been introduced as an expert.
Yeah.
I found that when I started doing this and going to places with my boss, people would send me places. Wendy's an expert in recruiting. And I'd be like, I'm not an expert in anything, but okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I was better than I thought I was, but I certainly wasn't an expert at anything.
I remember when I was a director, a workforce management director, we used a piece of software that I was, you know, familiar with. Mm-hmm. We used it, right? But I'm not in it every day, like some of the people on my team. And I remember I would take someone who had worked in that system and seen several iterations of that system for 10 years, to meetings, specifically meetings where we were going to discuss the capabilities of that system, right? The things that if we were going to think outside the box, what else could we use this system for? Or what could we do? I wasn't going to be a very helpful resource in that meeting, but guess what? This person who I brought were the expert, and they got a ton of visibility at their level. They would never get to go to some of those meetings. You know, I mean, I was taking them to meetings with our CFO. I mean, this was huge for them and really helped their career. And I think that that's a really, really helpful point here.
And the bigger island brings you closer to the island that you want to get to, and the new relationships provide more bridges to that island. So instead of, you know, your transition being one of those shaky wood, you know, rope bridges that you see across gorges and you think, there's no way I would try and walk across that, your transition is a short and solid bridge, and there's lots of people to support you crossing it. You know, if there's 10 people on the island the other side going, yeah, we want you, come on, you can do it, then that transition is going to be way easier for you. And if that new role does need training, like going on a PM course, the company is way more willing to invest in someone who has been achieving results. And getting that training is therefore a slam dunk. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you've been doing awesome. We're going to promote you to project manager. And by the way, you need to have the qualification, so we'll send you on the course. It just becomes a fait accompli.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, this would not be career tools if we just talked about results and not relationships, right? We're not telling you here to just focus on results and not focus on relationships. I mean, the focus on results doesn't take away from the fact that we still need to build relationships in our careers. Good relationships make getting results easier. It's kind of this virtuous cycle, right? Where we get good results, which helps us build relationships. And then because we have better relationships, we get better results. And there's a concept, I don't remember where I read it. It might have been in The Speed of Trust by Stephen M. R. Covey. But there's trust that's built through competence, through being good at your job. And because of that, that's the kind of trust that we want to build. We want to build that trust in those relationships because we're good and we do what we say we're going to do and we know our stuff. So what we see, though, sometimes is that professionals who are focusing on the next role or that transition, right, not the island, their focus is on relationships with people that they need in order to get there, right? And what you need to focus on is the relationships with the people that you're working with and for in this role.
Yeah. In your example of the specialist in that software, if he was thinking, I want Andrew's job, he might have thought, oh, well, if I get the CFO's endorsement, that will be awesome. So I will go and try and get an in with the CFO. Whereas being an expert in his job meant that you wanted to take him. And that that approach that the CFO got to know him naturally and organically, and it just happened anyway. Now, it's not going to happen perfectly all the time, but if your guy hadn't been concentrating and doing a good job, it wouldn't have happened at all for him. If he spent all his time like trying to walk along the C-suite corridor, trying to bump into the CFO, that thing would never have happened.
Or, and here's, I think, another way to apply what we're talking about to that specific example is that person was an expert. I mean, he was really good. He knew the software. But if he was also a jerk to me, or didn't, or knew he was an expert and didn't, and maybe, was a little vocal about it.
I can't believe you just asked me that.
Well, or if he said things like, well, I mean, you should really know that stuff. Like, I shouldn't have to go to that meeting or stuff like that, right? Yeah, Okay. Well, then who's not going to the meeting? Yeah. You. I'll find someone else, right? Yeah, yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah, there is no point in sacrificing relationships in the short term for the ones that you want in the long term. Like, it just, it's silly. Just build the foundation of the relationships you need now to get results now, and trust that those other ones will come.
Right, exactly. And our last point here is don't burn bridges.
I was so happy when I thought of this. I was like, oh, career archipelago, bridges. This is the perfect metaphor.
Yeah. It's like a metaphor on a metaphor.
It is. It's amazing.
It's like
a metaphor stack.
Yes.
Yeah, don't burn bridges. Any bridge will get you off the island. And it doesn't matter if it's the bridge you want to use or not. If there's a disaster, all you care about is getting off the island. So, if the economy crashes and you need to get out of a company because you know they're going to go under, then it doesn't matter who the bridge is, where the bridge is, where it goes. You just need out of that island. It doesn't matter which bridge it is. Just need to cross it. So burning bridges behind you or in front of you, any which way, burning relationships damages your ability to get off the island when you need to.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When things are good, especially when we've just moved from maybe a less than ideal role and now we're in a new one, it's good, right? We have those rose-colored glasses. We forget about the things that, you know, that we didn't like or that, you know, made that last role not so great. And we think, oh, this, it's never going to happen here.
Yeah.
Right.
Or we think, you know, the 2000 economy crash happened and it's not going to happen. You know, we get 2 years out and now we're not in a recession and everyone starts to breathe and then things are good for 10 years and we start to breathe some more and we forget that that could ever happen again. And guess what?
Right.
It does, because economies are cyclical. They always have been. They always will be. And it will come again that you need, you know, all the things you need when the economy crashes.
Yeah. After fall, always comes winter. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it always happens. And this is an interesting point, right? So the idea that forgetting those things is actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Psychologically, right? Because it means if we didn't have that circuit where we forget about those things, we wouldn't ever leave companies, leave our houses. I mean, we wouldn't take risks, right? Because we would constantly be focusing on those things that could go wrong. So it's a good thing that we forget those things.
You know, anybody who's had a baby would never have another one if you didn't forget how hard it was the first time.
That hits way too close to home. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you are right. You focus on the good things, right? The giggles and not all the diapers. Yeah. So in career terms, that's what we forget, right? We forget that, of course, as Wendy mentioned, global pandemics and, you know, mass, you know, recessions and layoffs and all of that things happen. But even small things like getting a bad manager, right? And, you know, transitions within the organization, all of that stuff happens because we sometimes forget that. We let a relationship go, or we say, you know, I'll let that bridge fall, right? And it's a very cavalier way of looking at it. But then we regret that when we discover it's a hurricane or a storm is brewing, it would have been nice to have that bridge, right? So don't burn bridges.
Ever burn bridges. Yeah. In a career archipelago, it's the islands that are important, not the bridges. Performing in your current role gives you more opportunities than just building bridges off the island. Performing in your current role gives you all sorts of opportunities that make that transition when it comes easier. And it's way easier to perform or to get better results in your current job than it is to do something now that will make that transition easier. That's something else, right? Something transition based. And never, ever burn a bridge because you might need it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.